Thank you, Laura, Sherilyn. By way of introduction this morning for the recording, and also that you might recognize these strange men that are up here not listed in the bulletin, we've had some illnesses in the families, and there have been a few changes. Our brother Joe Gio called and said his family was feeling ill and they were not going to be here this morning. And also our brother Mike Essel was under the weather, and they aren't here this morning either. So brother Dave Maddox said he would fill in for the offertory remarks, and our brother Darwin Bingham will be bringing the benediction. And our brother Eric Baker will offer our spoken word this morning, and our brother Rick Rogers will bring the invocation. And my name is Dennis Seymour. And I know you all know all of these men up here, but people that listen to these programs, these times, wonder who in the world is that praying or who's giving that offertory. I think it's nice to know the names of these men. I'd like to read for your hearing from the testimony of Luke in the first chapter. This being the Christmas season, the season that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And we're keeping in line with that reasoning that season. Beginning at the 28th verse, it reads, "And the angel came unto her, Mary, and said, Hail, thou virgin, who art highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with thee, for thou art chosen and blessed among women. And when she saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and pondered in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." We'll continue with our service following our program using hymn number 159. Thank you. O God, the eternal Heavenly Father, thy saints have gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, we have come to worship thee, to praise thy holy name in song and in word and in prayer and testimony. Father, meet us here. We know that you're already here. And Father, we know that your Spirit has blessed each one of us and brought us here. And you've chosen us for the great and marvelous work in these last days. And we rejoice in such an opportunity, in such a calling. Father, we know that our brother Eric has given his life to healing your people. He has chosen to be a physician, and he's done so that he may bring glory to your name. So we call upon you, the great physician, to now bless him with the words which he should speak, which would bring that healing to our souls. For those that are bruised and broken among our people, we pray that you would give them hope and healing. For those that are strong and able, we pray that you would bring them humility and yet courage to be and do those things which you have asked them to be. Father, grant thy Spirit to us this day. Pour out your Spirit upon us as you have in times past. Lift our spirits that we might go forth in this time of rejoicing in the birth of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we might bear witness in both word and deed and in the image of Jesus in our countenance. Bless us to this end, O Lord. Bless this service. In Jesus Christ's most worthy and holy name, amen.
Our story comes from Omni. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come into Christ, who is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation and the power of his redemption. Yea, come into him and offer your whole souls as an offering unto him, and continue in fasting and praying, and endure to the end. And as the Lord liveth, ye shall be saved. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, please direct these funds where they need it most. Be with everyone here. Be with us this week. Be with Eric. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And behold, it came to pass, after my father had made an end of speaking the words of his dream, and also of exhorting them to all diligence, he spake unto them concerning the Jews, that after they should be destroyed, even that great city Jerusalem, and many be carried away captive into Babylon, according to the own time of the Lord, they should return again, yea, even be brought back out of captivity. And after they should be brought back out of captivity, they should possess again the land of their inheritance. Yea, even 600 years from the time that my father left Jerusalem, a prophet with the Lord God raise up among the Jews, even a Messiah, or in other words, a Savior of the world. And he also spake concerning the prophets, how great a number have testified of these things concerning this Messiah of whom he had spoken, or this Redeemer of the world. Wherefore all mankind were in a lost and in a fallen state, and ever would be, save they should rely on this Redeemer. And he also spake concerning a prophet who should come before Messiah to prepare the way of the Lord. Remember, as maybe some of you do, the time when there was two little girls or two young ladies that stood up here that were under the direction of our sister Thelma Kester, and that was, of course, Laura and Leslie singing together. I was almost like some of the other men who are not up here this morning. I woke up this morning, yesterday, I started having sore throat and cough, and I woke this morning, and thankfully the Lord's blessed me, and I still have a little bit of voice, at least for today. So, in just case anybody wants to know, I tested negative, I did a test at home. So. We went to a Christmas presentation that you walked through on Friday, our family. It's kind of our tradition on Christmas Eve to go do this, and we were standing in line waiting, and the lady who was in charge, at letting people in, to pass the time, said, well, you know, what is it that you want for Christmas? And she asked each of us in the family, my wife and my two daughters and my son, what is it that you want for Christmas? And perhaps you're thinking about that now a little bit as I bring that up. It was just yesterday, of course, that that took place. But I'd like you to ponder that in your mind a little bit. And talk about some of these things and the significance of this day. You know, when I was a kid, and I don't see a lot of young ones here, but when I was a kid, Christmas was coming, and it seemed like the days, that the 30 days before Christmas, that they were 100 days. It took forever for Christmas to get there. My brother and I, Ryan, we would get the Sears catalog, and that's how we picked our Christmas presents. We went through the Sears catalog. My grandmother and my mother and all my family, they loved it. You know, just tell us what page, and we just tell them, you know, here it is. We'd give them the book, the catalog, and we had circled the things on each page that we had wanted, and but there was this one year. There's this one year that came, and we were looking through the catalog, and there was the Atari game system, the first home game system that came to the United States as available, and we saw the price, and we thought, we'll never get that. We'll never get that. And our mother, she wanted to know, what is it that, you know, you want for Christmas? And we kind of hemmed and hawed about around it and told her a few things. And I guess she could see, you know, through the lines that we weren't giving her the whole story. And so she finally coaxed us, you know, what is it that you really want? Well, because we were afraid to ask for it. Is, you know, that's an expensive thing. And so we asked, and to our surprise, she said, "Oh yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we can afford that." And so we got that, and my brother and I, we stayed up the whole night playing Space Invaders, you know, there in our room, had it hooked up to the TV. Some of you may remember that. Remember those days. So, but you know this. Today, I want to talk a little bit about a gift that is greater than that Atari game system, is greater than any gift you might have received yesterday that came in those packages that you unwrapped, a gift that is so great, that is so wonderful, that there are people who feel unworthy to ask. They're afraid to ask for it because they think that they may it's something that's too wonderful for them, that they're not worthy of that. Of course, many of you know what that gift is. You know, this all starts back in Genesis, in the first book of the Bible. In fact, the very first chapter of Genesis is where all this starts, where the Lord is speaking to His Son, and they begin to create the things that we see round about us, the heavens and the earth and the water and the land and the light and the darkness, and then the plants and the animals, and then man. And they create all these things. And we're, of course, we're especially blessed because in the inspired version it tells us that these things are created spiritually. They're created spiritually. And that says that the Lord God had not created anything temporally on the earth yet. And, you know, those who are outside the restoration, they don't really have that understanding, and they make some misconceptions, I'm afraid, and mistakes when they try to explain that. But then the Lord, He created man, and He was the first flesh upon the earth. And He created man, and He gave to him laws, and He told him that he was to tend the garden there, the Garden of Eden, and He gave to them different laws, and of course one of those laws was that he wasn't to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know, sometimes, you know, I think we think about these things that we wonder, you know, why do we have to follow all of these laws? You know, the Lord established these laws. We talked about some of those laws in our class this morning, and the Doctrine of Covenants was at, that was section 34. Is that right, Brad? I don't even know if Brad's still here. Section 34 of the laws of the church. And it reiterates in there, in the laws of the church, it reiterates the Ten Commandments. It does that in the Book of Mormon, too. You know, that's how important those commandments were. Christ Himself, in His ministry, He reiterated those Ten Commandments. Not to steal, not to kill. You know, we could name them off. But you know, these laws are important because without these laws, without laws, what would we have? We'd have confusion. We'd have anarchy. And, you know, the Doctrine and Covenants talks about how every kingdom has its laws, and we see these laws in place. The earth abides the laws that it was given, its rotation and where it is, its distance from the sun. And if it didn't abide these laws, what would we have? Well, we wouldn't have life, would we? Because it has to be at that, just that certain perfect distance from the sun. If it was further away, everything would freeze over, and if it was even a little closer, everything would boil over and evaporate. And the other planets in the solar system and the sun and the moon, they follow these laws. And the Doctrine and Covenants, you know, talks about that they follow these laws, and that because of these laws that we have order, there is order in the universe. And that is how it is with the laws that we've been given, brothers and sisters, as mankind, that there's a purpose behind these laws, and that in following those laws that we can have peace, we can have tranquility, we can have order, and we can have righteousness. And of course, that's what our Lord really wants us to have, our God, as He wants for men to be righteous, because if we do not follow those laws, and when we sin, what happens is we are shut out of His presence. And that, unfortunately, Adam and Eve, they learned that the hard way. You know, up until that point, no one had ever broken a law that God had given, had they? They were the first ones to break a law. And in breaking the law, they learn the consequences of when we break a law and we transgress the commandment and we sin. And that is that we become unworthy. We become unworthy creatures. Man became fallen man. He was shut out of the Garden of Eden. They were driven out of the Garden of Eden. And they look back, you know, and here in that garden they had everything that they needed, you know, temporally. They had food, they had water, probably had good weather, and they were driven out of the garden, and they became just like we are here today. They became fallen man, and they had to earn their food by the sweat of their brow. And you know, they're not the only ones who disobeyed. You know, I used to ponder on that. You know, why Adam committed this sin? I didn't commit that sin, but we all do, don't we? We all commit sin. And we should say, actually, to make that plural, right? Sins, because we all commit sins. And so in that sense, we are like Adam and Eve in that we have excluded ourselves. We've shut ourselves out of the presence of the Almighty Father. Only those who are sinless, who are righteous, can abide in that presence, who are holy, it says, can abide in His presence. Otherwise, they'd be destroyed. And yet, there are many of us, and probably most of you here today, who long and desire to be back in the presence of the Almighty. That's what's in your hearts. You desire that you might be there because you know that there is happiness and there is gladness. There is a spirit and the presence of our Lord. And you know, our God is that way as well. The Heavenly Father, He desires that we might be back in His presence as well. He desires it. Some of us desired it. He longs that we might take place, but yet He is bound by His Word, isn't He? His Word, do not eat of every tree you can eat in the garden except the tree of the knowledge and good and evil. And in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And we have died, haven't we, saints? We've died spiritually in being cut off from His presence. And we die temporally as well. And so He cannot retract His Word, but yet He desires that we might come back in His presence. And you know, I thought about some of these things that from the standpoint of a kid. And you know, some of you kids out there, have your father or your mother, have they ever done this where they tell you, you need to quit doing that. If you don't stop doing this, you are going to be grounded. You won't get to go to your friend's house tonight. Okay, and you're grounded tonight, and then you do it. Okay, well, you're grounded. That's it. You're not going tonight. And then what happens sometimes, kids? Like later that day, you know, they all of a sudden they change their mind. Has that ever happened to you? Not me. You know, not as a parent. I never did that. They change their mind, and all of a sudden Well, I guess you can go ahead and go because you were good today after that, or you did this, you helped your sister out. And you know, they go back on their word, don't they? Of course, it's for your good. Why did they do that? Well, you know why. It's because they love you. It's because of that immense love that they had for you. They just cannot, it saddens them to see that you're sad, that you're not going to get to do the thing that you wanted to do. And you know, that's how it is with our Heavenly Father, is that He understands and He knows our thoughts, and that some of us long to be back in His presence. And so, in order for Him to be a God that is both just, but also to be a God that is loving, that, as Alma says, that He might be a perfect, just God and a merciful God also. He created a way. He provided a way that mankind might come back into the presence of God. And that is why we're here today, to remember that way. And that way was through His Son, even that of Jesus Christ. His Son takes upon Him our sins. And He takes the punishment for those sins, doesn't He? You know, if God says that you need to love your brother and that you can't steal from him, and if you steal from him, then there will be this consequence, He cannot go back on that. But through His Son takes the punishment, the consequence for your actions that you committed. The sins that you committed, the mistakes that you made, He takes the punishment of those things. And even if the consequence of your sins, if it should be, even if it required your life, it took His life, didn't it? He provided His life as a way to justify, to satisfy that justice that the Almighty had put out there, that He could not go back on His word. And so He provided this way that we might come back into His presence. And that's what we celebrate this time of year. And you know, in the scriptures, this time of year, we read, you know, how the shepherds were out in the field, and it's nighttime, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And this was, this must have been quite, you know, something to see. You can maybe put yourself in their shoes, that they're in the stillness of the night, you're out in you're away from the city, and everything else, and suddenly this magnificent being appears to you in the brightness of His coming, okay, and lights up the sky probably, and when He speaks to you, the earth trembles. I mean, maybe I'm embellishing on this, but this is what I imagine happened, that, you know, He came and He spoke to the shepherds, and it says they feared. They were scared. And He said to them, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings." Glad tidings. Fear not. And you know, we have a lot of fear today, don't we, brothers and sisters? I've seen it over the past 2 years, you know, just in my practice. Patients come in and last year it was talking about the things that they quit doing because of the pandemic. They quit going to the gym. They quit following their diet. They just, you know, threw it all out. This is it. Gonna just do whatever. They stayed at home. But I could see in talking with them, you know, the fear. Some of them very fearful. And I say this, I had two patients. They tried to take their life. And I mean, that wasn't the only thing. And fortunately, they weren't successful. COVID wasn't the only reason, but it just topped it off. That was it. That's what they needed. And they were going to call it quits. And so fear. We turn on the TV, listen to the news, and it's out there. We leave our house, we go out. People are wearing masks, signs on the stores, on the windows. And you know, it can kind of paralyze us, can it? Have you ever had that? I'm afraid of heights. I don't know if anybody else here is afraid of heights. But not so much now. I don't understand this. But as I've gotten older, after I had kids, all of a sudden I wasn't afraid of heights. I don't know if anybody else that's happened to me. But when I was younger, my gosh, I was just scared to death. I mean, if I was in a building and I was up on a high floor and I got out of the elevator, okay, I wasn't even near the windows or the edge, it seemed like I could feel the building moving, you know, just swaying there. And you know, they talk about how buildings do that. They're made to actually sway a little in the wind. But yeah, I was scared to death. It would freeze me. I don't know if that anyone else that's ever happened to them. It can paralyze us. It clouds our judgment. You know, like if you're a test, you ever take a test where you know every answer on that test. You've studied, You've done the flashcards, your parents have quizzed you, and you know you're going to ace that test, and then you get in there, and then fear hits you. And what does it do? You can't think. You can't answer those questions. Yet you know the answers. Shakes our faith, doesn't it? Shakes our faith. Shakes our faith spiritually speaking. And you know, fears of the adversary, it is. And you know, the Lord says, and this is the words of Paul, He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love. He's not about fear. That's what the angel was speaking to the shepherds there. Fear not. You know, the disciples, I think about the disciples that they were out on the sea with their Lord, and that storm arose, and here he was asleep in the back of the ship. They came back there, and you know the words that they said, but, you know, hey, we're going to die. That's what they said to him. That's what they thought. And he came out and he spoke the word, and the winds calmed down and the waves settled down. Must have been a terrific thing. Our God is not about fear. And he says, fear not, for we bring you glad tidings. The tidings of the Savior's birth. And we remember Him this time of year. We remember that gift. The Lord of light and truth came in the form of a helpless little baby. Not even born into a wealthy or well-to-do family. They didn't even have room for them in the inn. He's born in a barn. He's put in a manger where they put the stuff for the hay for the animals to eat out of. Lord of light and truth, but He came that He might dispel fear. He might dispel darkness, get rid of it. He might give men hope, and He might give us peace. He came to calm that. Even His birth, you think about His birth, what we know in the Book of Mormon, that there was that day, and then there was the night, in which there was no night, and then there was day again. And we don't know what happened there. You know, as time goes on, we've learned, you know, these different things, and I find this fascinating from a scientific view, if you will, about, you know, how these things took place in the Book of Mormon, and maybe what it was that happened and in the scriptures. And but we don't really know what happened, you know. How was it that there was this night that it was like daylight? Now, was it a supernova? We know those can be so bright that it's like it's daylight out. But then the thing is they last for weeks and months. So we don't know. We don't know. But it was a sign. It was a sign, and it had a connotation to it, didn't it? Because here was the Lord of light and truth, and the darkness fled from Him. And that's how He wants us. That's what He wants us to know, brothers and sisters, that we need not fear. We need not fear the dark. We need not fear the adversary. We need not fear the virus or anything that man could do, because He is greater than the darkness, isn't He? He's greater than death. He overcame death. And even if it requires our life, even in death, we have life eternal through Him. That's what He wants us to know. And so this gift, this wonderful gift, this gift that's better than the Atari, that's better than your PlayStation that you got, that's, you know, I don't know what everybody got here, I got a leaf vacuum. That sound like fun? I asked for it. That's what I asked for. You know, when you get to be my age, that's the kind of things you ask for, I guess. Leaf vacuums. It's greater than all that. This gift of the Savior, the wonderful gift of repentance. I can't imagine not having that ability. Can you imagine that, brothers and sisters? Not being able to repent. Everything that you've done, that's it. You've done it. There's no going back. There's no retracting it. Everything you've said, the hurts you've caused in other people's lives, the quarter that you stole from your little sister when she wasn't looking. Worse crimes than that. But we have this gift of repentance. This gift that can make us free. Can it? Free. It's like we're in prison and we're bound in shackles and in chains. And they drop to the floor. And we can come back into the presence of God. And so this time of year, men acknowledge Him. They may not acknowledge His laws or want to do what He says. And you may not even know it, you know, the music and the so many of the Christmas songs don't have anything to do with the Savior. I remember there's a testimony brought to my mind when I was in youth. This lady came, a member of the church, and she was talking about how one year she had this foreign exchange student at her house, and he's from Japan, and Christmas time came, and you know, they began to put up decorations and, you know, just everything that happens. And he said, what's the meaning of all this? You see, he was raised Buddhist. He'd never heard of Christ. And so she told him, said, what? You mean you've never heard of Jesus Christ? And so she told him. And he believed her. He joined a church and later became an apostle. And that wonderful gift, brothers and sisters, that we seem to take it for granted. Well, you know, everybody knows about Jesus Christ. Well, they don't. It's like everyone does not know about this church. But one day they will, won't they? We'll be teaching them. I believe that. Well, each of you, you who are afraid to stand up here in front of and for morning worship, and I know that because I used to be in charge of morning worship a long time ago, and certain people I'd call, I could hear them shake the phone shaking on the other end because I was asking them to do morning worship. But you'll be teaching it. You'll be telling others about the gospel story and about His church, the true and living church, brothers and sisters. And you know, of all the things that we talk about in this church, that we study, that we learn about, that we teach, we need to remember that the most important thing. Well, you know, Joseph Smith was asked this. He was asked this. I've got it somewhere here in my scriptures. Pardon me here while I look it up so I didn't quote it correctly. But he was asked this by a magazine. What is it that your church believes You know, how are you different? And of course, I can't find it here now. But he said, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died for the sins of men, and that he is the Savior of the world. And everything else is simply an appendage to that. It's tangential. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have the church. If you don't have his sacrifice and his life and the fact that he was the Son of God, then you don't have salvation. Scriptures are full of it. There's a time I didn't understand that, brothers and sisters. I remember that. I was studying the scriptures and, you know, I was in college. And, you know, I'd been taught this gospel since I was a young child. I began to read the scriptures and I wanted to understand what it was, this fall of man that I mentioned to you. What is it? I didn't understand it. How is it that man can fall and then he's reclaimed? And I began to make notes, and I know I've shared this testimony before, but share it again, that I began to make all these notes from the scriptures that it had to do with this and try to formulate them and put them all together. And then one day I read this one scripture that said that through the redemption is made for you is brought to pass the resurrection. Now we've all read that. All of a sudden the Lord opened my eyes. And I saw myself, saints, in a way that I had never seen myself before. I am going to lose my voice here, I guess. I saw myself in the way that the Lord sees me, that he sees you. With all my sins and the things that I had done wrong, and I was filthy. And in that moment, I understood my need for a Savior. That I needed him. Had to have him. Just like each of you, each of us, needs that redeeming power. Opened my eyes. And then it all made sense. And I'm not saying it didn't make sense to some degree up to that point, but then everything, you could just open the scriptures and read everything, that this Jesus Christ, this Son of God, he was the center of everything that we believe. He was the gospel. He was the truth. He was the light. You look at the Bible, it's got the Old and the New Testament. Maybe some of you haven't ever thought about this. What does that mean? Testament. It's testimonies. It's the testimonies that were before him and the testimonies that were after him. And they were of him. Made sense. The scriptures just opened up to me. And so of all things that we teach in this church, that we study and that we try to share, we need to remember that. Learn it. We need to know it, don't we? And I'm not saying just, yeah, this is what it is. This is the gospel. No, know it. Like in an experience. You know, the Apostle John, in his vision that he was given, his experience, he was told that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when you have that testimony of Jesus Christ in your heart, when you understand what it means and how it applies to you personally, then you can prophesy. That is prophecy. It's revelation. You know, we had that picture of the church and there's the rock of revelation. What's that about? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of the church. He is the cornerstone. And it would all fall without Him. That's what we need to know. And when we all know that, brothers and sisters, when we understand that, when we have that communion with our Heavenly Father, because we have realized that we have a need for the Son, that we'll give up everything we have in our life, our money, our respect, our friends, for this gift, we will give it up all. We'll give up all our sins. When we realize that's what we want, and we have that communion, what will we have, brothers and sisters? Well, we'll have the kingdom, won't we? Because we'll all see eye to eye. So I asked you that question, what is it that you want for Christmas? Just like the lady asked me on Friday. Maybe your answer's changed here in the last 30 minutes. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. But the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the way you shall find the babe. He is wrapped in swaddling clothes and is lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. I pray we might each partake of that goodwill that our Heavenly Father gives to us freely, brothers and sisters, and be willing to impart it to anyone else who has not heard the story.
our God. We thank you for your words, for the wisdom that you have given us. May we use this to always give back to you, always look to you, and remember where all things come from. We thank you for this day, for this life, for this gospel, for the chance to be here, and for the chance to know you. Continue to be with us and watch over this flock. In Jesus' name, amen.